The DNA revolution has given us a lot of new technologies. It's also inspired a new kind of art, bio-art, made from living tissue and microorganisms. 2 years ago, Steve Paulson sat down with three young bio-artists from MIT's Media Lab, Joe Davis, Adam Zaretsky, and Oren Katz. Here's how they describe their work.
A few paramecia swimming by.
You say these are paramecia swimming by.
Yeah.
I have to say, to the uneducated ear, it sounds pretty much alike, except for those little extra bits of fluttering, I guess you could say. But, but you can really hear differences in what you're playing.
Yes, we've used spectrum analysis, and we've been able to identify, in general terms, different organisms. They each have a very specific signature, like a cow goes moo and a sheep goes baa. In this one, there's a little paramecium sort of spinning around, and then a rotifer runs up and bumps into him, and as soon as he bumps into the paramecium, this tiny little protist bumps into the rotifer's tail. So you hear both of these events. Here we go. Hear that again? That's just impact.
Joe, why do you want to record these tiny microorganisms? What are you trying to accomplish with this?
I realized that none of these sounds had ever been heard before. It was sort of like opening up tiny little doors into the cosmos that nobody had ever stepped through. So it's exciting. It's like discovery and adventure.
Let me bring another one of our guests into the discussion, Adam Zaretsky. You, too, work with very small creatures. What's the attraction for you?
As an artist, I've been playing music to E. coli and various different organisms, and just basically to see if I can get a reaction from them, it's almost as if I'm trying to talk to them.
You've been playing music to E. coli.
I've been playing Engelbert Humperdinck in most of my repeated experiments. I don't mean to torment them, but at the same time, if I can stress them out, there's a plausible possibility that they will create more antibiotics. So I've been checking that. And what I thought was, if I play them something that I think is bad taste, that they may agree with me, since we are related to a certain extent.
I heard she sang a good song. She had a style.
Is that enough?
I can email you the MPEG too sometimes.
So how do the E. coli respond to this song?
Well, it's hard to say. I've been running tests, and I've learned by being at MIT, by being in the laboratory, I've learned some of the meticulousness that scientists have to go through every day to create pieces of data. The development of a fact is a long and tedious process, something that I've grown to respect. In so saying, no, I haven't arrived at a complete conclusion yet, but the hypothesis is in the process of being proven, regardless of the fact that I'm not sure that I even believe in that whole process.
Oren Katz, let me bring you into the discussion as well. What makes this kind of thing art? I mean, What raises it beyond just an interesting scientific experiment to see how, I don't know, some little microorganism is going to react to some sound?
I suppose the absurdity of it, but that's one way to look at it. But it's really hard to answer this question, especially that my work is, I suppose, trying to be more traditional in the sense that we are trying to grow sculptures. So I suppose by using the word sculptures, we are referring to art.
Okay, well, tell me about your work. How do you actually grow sculpture?
We are using tissue engineering techniques, and we use tissue which we are growing over three-dimensional scaffolds that we design out of degradable polymers. We then seed the scaffold with cells, and we let the scaffold degrade, and we end up with what we refer to as semi-living sculptures, which are, I suppose, chunks of tissue in the desired shape.
Why do you want to work with live tissue rather than some more traditional material like clay?
There's a few reasons for that. First of all, there's this kind of aspiring art notion of creating life or imitating life, and we are trying to use life by itself to create our work. The other thing is that we found out that there is a possibility of a future in which we're going to have objects which are partly alive and partly constructed. And we believe that by producing art pieces, that represent those object beings, we are raising quite a lot of questions regarding our relationship to where we're going and what kind of how we're going to treat those semi-living objects.
Oren, I hear that you have been collaborating with Adam. He's been playing pig songs to your sculptures. How does this work?
All right, what we're doing, we're trying to grow the first ever pig wings. We're using the same technologies to
pig wings.
Exactly. And we started to work with stem cells, with bone marrow stem cells, and we extracted them from pigs. And we thought that maybe by using music, we could get the cells, first of all, deeper into the construct, and second, maybe they'll attach because they're so scared. So we decided to collaborate with Adam and using the same technology that he's using for the bacteria to play pig songs to pig wings and see if that's going to help them in any way.
So, Adam, where do you come into this? Where do you get your pig songs?
Well, actually, I downloaded them from Napster, and we got all sorts of different songs. We've got songs about fascist pigs. We've got songs about this little pig went to market. We have songs about pig Latin, chauvinist pigs. And, of course, we have War Pigs by Black Sabbath, which was, I think, one of our first and one of our favorites to play to the pig wings.
Witches gather at black masses. Bodies burning in red ashes.
Pretty much we're just shaking them up, you know, like giving them a good dose of music.
Well, Joe, let me ask you about what we should make of all of this, because I can imagine most artists, if they heard this kind of work, they would say, this isn't art. This it's something sort of curious, but it's not art. I guess.
Well, if you think about it, you know, artists have always been very curious, fascinated with life itself, with the secrets of life. Artists have always wanted to bring things to life. 20 years ago, we were at the beginning of the digital age, and they told us that computers were going to become so ubiquitous as to affect every aspect of daily life, and maybe we didn't understand. And a lot of artists will sort of rejected that idea and created images of a nightmare digital age. But now, see, there are changes standing on the horizon that are so dramatic and so sweeping that all of the so-called changes of the digital age are going to shrink by comparison. And sure, artists tend to create nightmares, but see, all of our dreams are going to come true, so we try to have a few good dreams.
Steve Paulson speaking with bio artists Joe Davis, Adam Zaretsky, and Oren Katz. At the time, Joe Davis was also developing a flying machine powered by real frog legs to fly over the Charles River in Boston.